Welcome to Career Tools. This week, presentation errors, speaking too fast. The questions this cast answers are, what is too fast when giving a presentation? What do I do if I speak too quickly when presenting? And how do I stop myself from speaking too quickly?
Hey folks, if you're a manager at a company that might bring in our services, and you're wondering about that, doing it virtually or in person, you should know that we are traveling. We were recently in Detroit. We are headed to San Diego for a different client next week. We are happy to come on site and ready to schedule that with you now. And for many places, you can't do it, but we know that training is better in person, and provided your COVID preparations and plans and the various restrictions allow you to do it, we'd love to come and deliver in person to you. Hope to see you and talk about that.
This guidance came out of two questions that I had after I did a presentation at Toastmasters. One person said, I'm from New Jersey. I talk fast and I use my hands. What can I do when it's my nature, or do I just embrace it? And the other person said, I tend to speak fast or forget what I want to say. What do you recommend to get better at not doing this? So if you are afraid that you speak too quickly, or you've been told that you speak too quickly, this is the cast for you.
Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about, are you really speaking too quickly? And then practicing, and then having your content twice, and putting your most important point first. So that's going to be our outline, if you will. And we'll start with, are you really speaking too quickly?
Because when you're presenting, you're supposed to speak more quickly. It's part of the way that you impart energy into the room and excitement about your topic. And if you're excited, then your audience will be excited. And it's completely possible that you don't have a problem at all. So before you fix it, you have to work out if you have a problem.
Yeah. One quick note here. If you're speaking to a group where English is their second language, more slow. And when we get these questions from people, we first ask for more detail. Who told you this? You know, who gave you the feedback? What was the circumstance? When? How often? What did they specifically say? The problem with the feedback, you speak too quickly, is that the speed at which you speak is being compared to a different target by all the different people who hear you. So each person has a different feeling for what too quickly is.
Everybody's ears go at a different speed.
Sure. There's actually really interesting stuff about language and syllables versus content, which I find super interesting and no one else will. So we'll move past that and talk as always, because we love to, about DISC. In the DISC model, a high D or I, who also speak quickly and make big gestures, might say that your presentation style is perfect because that's their normal rate. Yeah. High S or high C, though, seeing the same presentation at the same time, would tell you were too fast, too loud, or too over the top. What these groups consider to be just right is different. And no matter how quickly or slowly you go, one group will think you're either too fast or too slow.
And that's not to say that since you can't please all the people all of the time, that you should just give up and say, it's my nature and I can't change it and I'm just going to do it my way. Because you can change it and you should try and change it for different audiences. The first thing you need to think about is your audience. And one way to think about them is their DISC profiles and what you're teaching them and what the circumstances are. There's all sorts of things. But for example, if you get a whole bunch of engineers, then more of them are going to be high C's because that's just the nature, that's the profile that tends to gravitate to that role. And so you probably want to go more slowly, more in detail, more structure, less gestures, more data. And so you're completely doing something that is tailored to what they want to hear and how they want to hear it, rather than saying, this is just the way I want to do it. If you were in sales, then high I's tend to be in sales, or there's more salespeople that are high I's, and they want to be fast and excited and hand gestures and let's have a party. So that group you could have the same information but present it completely differently to that group, and to that group you would speak more quickly.
Second, as we mentioned before, presenters need to speak more quickly in general. Speaking more quickly, a little bit more loudly, and with bigger gestures, essentially closer to the high I and high D and the DISC profile behaviors, are behaviors that are commonly described as energy from people attending a presentation or listening to a presentation. So as a presenter, you need to have energy in order to capture and keep the audience's attention. The slower you go, the more monotonous it feels. They begin to lose interest. It feels pedantic. When the presenter is the only person speaking, you're creating all the energy in the room. So when you're the presenter, you're the person contributing all the energy to the group and to the room. And if you speak slowly in a monotone with no gestures, the energy slips away and the audience falls into a presentation coma. They're present and they're not engaged, and certainly not learning if they're not engaged. In their head, they're doing email, or even maybe, you know, as you're talking, they're actually doing email. It's only once you've considered all these factors that you can decide how quickly you need to speak in order to give an effective presentation. It's not how much faster or slower you need to speak from the baseline of how fast you are now, which the feedback you speak too quickly would suggest. It's how fast or slow do you need to go to effectively get your point across to the audience. So instead of measuring yourself from your norm, we're going to consider what is best for the audience, for the group. In some cases, even though you've been told you speak too quickly, with a particular audience, you might need to go even faster.
Yeah, that would be weird. Like if your grandmother always tells you you talk too quickly and then you go to an audience of high eyes and they want you to go even faster.
Yeah.
And how quickly or slowly you speak is entirely within your control. It is a learned behavior. And there's a pace at which you speak when you're not thinking about it. So your normal speech has a pace, but that doesn't mean that you can't go faster or slower. If you think about it first, like all behaviors, you can change it. And you can control your talking hands, or you can turn your dead fish hands into talking hands if the audience need it. All it takes is practice.
Mm-hmm. I think people are going to be a little bit surprised by this. I think it sounds counterintuitive that you can be aware of this. And I also have experienced that the moment you start to pay attention to the speed at which you speak, it becomes really obvious to you. You just have to tune into it.
And I'm hyper aware of it right now because we're talking about it.
Because we've been talking about it.
Yeah.
This morning I was speaking to a group whose languages are different than mine. And I realized about halfway through that I had been decreasing my speed to a certain amount that it was, they were in a bit of a coma. It was my own fault. I knew. I was watching their faces. I was trying to go more slowly so that I would see less confused faces. And I got to a point where I realized I've put them to sleep. So then I had to speed back up. Okay. So practice, right? Practice is next.
Yeah. Because you don't get better at presenting without presenting.
Yeah.
Like you have to give presentations, real ones, in public with other people listening. Otherwise, it doesn't matter. It's like riding a bike. You don't get better at riding a bike if you sit on the sofa and really think hard about riding, or you pretend to ride a bike. You have to get on the bike, get out in the street, and start pedaling. That's the only way you're going to learn how to ride a bike. And the same way, if you start presenting, the more you present, the more control you have and the more practice you have at changing all of the things that go into a presentation. If you don't give presentations often, you have all of this stuff in your head, like, are they listening? Are they, where are my hands? What should I be standing here? What am I, do I remember the content? What's the next line? And there's all these things. Whereas if you practice, some of that stuff goes away so that you can concentrate on the finer detail. So for instance, if you know the content backwards and forwards and you don't have to think, it just comes out of your mouth, then you could stop worrying about that and think about, for example, how fast you're speaking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you become more comfortable, just as with any task that you do repeatedly, and you have fewer questions bouncing around in your mind while you're doing it. And we recommend Toastmasters if you're looking for risk-free practice. and feedback from another group, because that's embedded in the Toastmasters
model.
Thank you. I was gonna say mantra. That's not correct.
No.
And then for some reason, I was thinking about like breakfast food. I don't know why we aren't talking about breakfast. Perhaps I have not eaten
toast.
Enough today.
Perhaps it was toast.
Then maybe that's it. Toast. Yeah.
See? This is what goes on in your mind when you're trying to present.
This is it.
And Mark and I just recorded a really long podcast about what Toastmasters is like, how much it costs, who's going to be there, why it's so good, all of that stuff. So if you go back a couple of weeks, you'll be able to listen to that. Mm-hmm. And at a weekly Toastmasters meeting, you would speak every week, even if it's just to say your name. So because you get lots of practice, you get better really quickly.
Which is awesome. Toastmasters is an amazing resource. Another thing to keep in mind is that everyone speaks more quickly when they're nervous. And the more you practice speaking in public, the less nervous you'll feel when it's time to do it again. Maybe your nerves will never go away completely. And the next time the situation changes a bit, they'll come back. You'll feel more nervous, which is definitely, I've experienced that. And practice allows you to control that and prevent your nerves from overtaking your voice and your body, and thus affecting the speed at which you speak. And practice doesn't need to be confined just to presenting. The more you speak in public, the more comfortable you'll become hearing your own voice. You could speak up in a team meeting or say more than hi to the person at the grocery store. You could call someone instead of emailing them. You could offer to introduce a subject at a community meeting or speak to the person in the waiting room at the doctor's office. If you're listening to this as it's coming out, there's less opportunities currently because of the pandemic. And, you know, I think we have experienced recently that the more remote you are from people, the more time you spend at home or in your home office, the less opportunity you have to speak out loud to people, which is odd. It's true that the more often you do it, the more comfortable you'll feel. And in the scenarios I just described, like the doctor's office or the grocery store or, you know, in a community meeting, you may not ever see those people again, right? It's like a very fleeting moment. It's fine if you stumble or forget the sentence halfway through because they're not going to remember, right?
No, you're one of 10,000 people.
Right. You're paying more attention to it than they are, I feel.
The other thing I found recently is I had to give a speech, and I was practicing for the days beforehand, and I was practicing out loud, as we're going to tell you. And I found after two or three things, it was a 5-paragraph speech. It was really short. But if I practiced it 3, 4, 5 times, my voice started to feel strained. And I know that our presenters present for eight hours straight and their voices survive. So there's another reason for practicing is that your voice gets stronger the more you practice.
Mm-hmm.
And if your voice is, if it's hurting to speak, then, you know, your presentation dies because you can't put anything into your voice. So
Absolutely.
That's another reason for practice.
That's such a good point. Yeah, you get rusty if you're not using, the voice is like a muscle.
Yep.
So when you have a specific presentation to make, practice twice a day out loud, preferably with an audience. And if you don't have an audience, one good thing is to put pillows on top of your sofa, your couch, so that they're roughly like at a level where people's heads would be. And that way you can practice making eye contact by looking at the pillows. I used to, when I very first started training to be a presenter here at Manager Tools, I had pictures of like Google images of audiences taped behind my desk to practice making eye contact because it wasn't something I was used to. I wouldn't do it in a meeting, like in a group meeting at work. Mm-hmm. So I hadn't practiced it ever. So when you practice making eye contact with the pillows. And then that way, when it's time to actually give the presentation, you'll be used to looking at the right place. And that way you don't have to think about that part. Like you're training yourself for that scenario of, hey, look at people in the eye because the connections are better and they listen more. And also you can get a sense from the audience how it's going, if you're putting them to sleep,
Yeah. A friend of mine at Toastmasters is a nurse, and she was doing resuscitation training. So she had four of the resusci Annies in her house. So she put them on the sofa and gave her presentations to them.
That's awesome. Is that what they call them, resusci Annies?
Yes. And apparently they're modeled after a woman who died in the Seine in Paris. She drowned, and she, when they found her, she had the perfect face. And so they sculpted it after her.
Wow.
That's Department of Useless Information. There you go.
That's also a very flattering and tragic
disturbing
story.
Yes, exactly.
Fair. Yeah. It's like the James Bond girl who was painted gold and then died.
Yes.
It's like, right? You're perfect. Sad. Gosh, we're morbid today, huh?
We are, aren't we? We should be excited. Yes. And the other thing is, don't forget to time yourself, because if you're speaking more slowly, mm-hmm. it won't help if you don't get the important points in, more of which we'll say in a minute. But you need to time yourself so you know how much of the content you can get in at the speed at which you're speaking.
It's important to keep in mind if you're doing slides with this, you want to probably look into like how much content is on your slides. Mm-hmm. I remember in my previous life as an engineer, I went to a lot of presentations where there were Excel snippets in the slides. You cannot possibly cover all of that. So there is a chance, I would say, just maybe if you're an engineer or if you're somebody who has previously put Excel snippets into your slides, just a note of caution that maybe the content that you've put together is driving your speed.
Mm-hmm.
And just be aware of like what you're putting in there. Does it need to be there? How many bullets you've got? You know, if you have more than 6 bullets, you would have to speak really quickly to get through a slide mm-hmm. with that many bullets because of the way the structure of the presentation usually works. So just as a heads up, you might want to take a look at your slides too and just, you know, is this why we're doing this, and how many slides per minute, and that rate is probably something to consider as well.
And if you are speaking more quickly than you've decided is optimal, then practice saying individual sentences more slowly. Like literally think about it first. You have to pause and think and then say, okay, I'm gonna say, and then leave a beat between each word. I can't. Between each word. And the best place to practice is on the phone to the bank or the call center for your phone company. You know, mm-hmm. all those people that we all hate talking to. You can practice with those people.
I think for a lot of us, it's kind of like the way you move your hands. If your hands are down by your side, you may feel that it's awkward. Like your body feels awkward in that position. In the same way, I find that a lot of presenters struggle with just a breath in between mm-hmm. words. If you take a breath in between words, even though you feel like that's a dead space, even though you feel like you're going too slowly, it's likely not. So if you take a breath in between your words, you're probably fine in terms of timing. Don't skip your breaths because it adds up and you end up kind of stuck at the end. But I know, I think for a lot of people, the breath in between feels like, oh gosh, they're waiting on me. Even if it's after a question, right? If they ask a question, you can take a breath, pause a beat, and they won't notice. It still feels like normal rhythm to the people who are listening.
I've said this before. I have a habit of starting sentences with so, and I was working on it. And so my friend told me, every time you're about to say a new sentence, just wait a second, let the so come out in your head, and then carry on. Mm-hmm. And so I did that. And all of the people afterwards said, I really enjoyed the pauses in your speech. It really helped us understand it and helped convey the message. And I thought those pauses where I was not saying so felt like forever. And mm-hmm. everybody else thought it was something I did on purpose to help the speech go. So, you know, other people's perceptions is nothing like what's in your head.
Right. Don't worry as much in terms of the pauses. Sometimes there's other things to worry about, but they have to listen and then they have to not translate, but interpret what you're saying. They have to process it. They're a beat behind you because they have to think through what you've said. Hopefully they're thinking through what you've said. So if you're going to practice saying your individual sentences more slowly, if you're going to use more pauses and slow down your speech, try this on the phone with your, you know, your service providers. And then once you can control your speed on one sentence, try two and so on and so forth. Add more sentences until you can get to whole paragraphs so that you're being cognizant of controlling your speed.
And one trick is not to watch videos or listen to podcasts at more than one time speed, which I do all of the time. And then I notice that my perception of speed is completely out of whack. I was listening to a podcast and somebody else heard it and was like, do you always listen at this speed? And to me, it was completely normal because that's how I always listen at that speed. So you're not helping yourself if you do that, at least while you're learning to speak at a certain speed.
Also, don't watch any Aaron Sorkin movies. Yeah. The West Wing. That will speed up your speech patterns real quick.
All over.
Yeah, it just confuses your brain about what's normal speed. And it's so funny to me because I don't listen to anything at more than one time speed. Like 1x, I don't. But a lot of people do, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Lots of people do. I know it's always funny. I only listen to a few other podcasts and they're rather dense. But someone recently shared with me that they listen to this podcast where the hosts share a lot about themselves and they listen on like 1.5x because they don't care about like the people's personal life. She said, I'm not listening for that. So I listen at a sped up rate so that I don't have to listen to her story about baking or something like that.
Folks, this is a really timely announcement. This cast is coming out on April 1st. And we have a virtual effective remote manager session spun up for April 12th, and we still have a few slots left. Virtual ERMs are very popular because they take what we already teach relative to the Trinity, one-on-ones, feedback, coaching, and delegation, and extend it, and we talk in detail about how to do that remotely. It's not easy. Remoteness makes things harder. So if you're struggling with remote management and you know a little bit about the Trinity, and maybe you're trying to roll it out, you might want to come see us, come sign up and attend the Virtual Effective Remote Manager Conference on April 12th.
If after all of these things that we've suggested, you're still talking too fast, then there are two more things that you can do. The first is have your content and have it again. And like, I want to say it like half. Like, we're cutting it in half. We're not.
Yes.
I'm not pronouncing the V in half. Have?
Half. No, I can't say it now. Half. No. Let's say cut the content that you want to put in the presentation in half and then cut it in half again.
Yes. If you're using slides, a good way to do this is to cut the number you have into half and then again do that in half again. Having too much content, as we mentioned before, is one of the reasons that you may be speaking too quickly when presenting. And again, if you have any Excel screenshots in your slides, take it out. Take it out. Do that first and then do the having. You can say a lot less than you think in the time that you have, and your audience can understand and retain, honestly, far less than you think as well.
Right, because you know the content of the presentation, the point you're trying to make, the action that you want your audience to take. And they don't. They have no context. They're hearing it all for the first time. And so you're way faster than they are. They're putting together the context and the map and they're placing the content in it and they're considering what you're saying and they're making decisions about whether or not they agree. And our brains are big, but they still have limits. You know, there's only so much you can learn in an hour. Think about when you went to school. Could you learn the entirety of calculus in an hour? No, it takes some time, right? Because there's only so much you can take in. And if you're trying to ram it in, you're just going to fail. It'll just bounce off their heads. And so you've wasted the hour because you haven't got what you wanted them to understand. Into their heads, and they probably say you speak too quickly because you're trying to rush to get it all in.
Mm-hmm. I think it's kind of like most of the time when I see people creating slides, because you're typing on a slide, you're not saying it out loud. You don't realize the disconnect between like hey, I'm writing this down. And when you write, people can read much more quickly than they can listen. Mm-hmm. So the idea that you would type your slides first is going to lean, or it's going to lend itself to putting too much information in the slides, because it's more like writing a brief than it is like speaking the words involved. So you have to think about that. What I would actually do is, if it was me, I would get some cards and write down, or even just like a piece of paper, but I love 3x5 cards. Like, I love them. I don't know why. I think I do know why. I love all office supplies because they come in a rainbow of colors, right? They're always presented to you as this like beautiful display. So I would take 3x5 cards, say what I want to say in my head even, or practice it out loud if it's not polished, or if it's polished, and just write down the bullets. And that's what your slides are supposed to be, is bullets, not the brief that it would take to explain everything and lay it all out if you were going to write it, right? Mm-hmm. Those are two different things. Think of it as the difference between writing an email. Slides are not the same thing as what would go in an email. I just think when we're creating the slides, we conflate the two, mm-hmm. and we forget that 5 bullets on a slide is a lot of talking. It's a lot. I mean, that's a good 10 minutes worth of talking just to read it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you have to be aware of that disconnect. And I don't think that many of us think of it that way. Maybe because you're the person who's not presenting the slides, or you're not creating the slides. And maybe just because you're used to writing, and writing lends itself, I think, towards more detail. And mm-hmm. more detail is good in writing, but in slide creation, I think more detail is extraneous detail rather than more.
Yeah, it just makes confusion. Not mm-hmm.
Yeah, and clarity. If you've got too much, it makes you speak more quickly, and it won't help because you're giving them too much information. So we want to start by limiting what we want to convey in our slides.
And mentioning 3x5 cards and speaking, if you are nervous and you need the help of having your content in front of you, use cards rather than a piece of paper. Because if your hands are shaking, a piece of paper will make a noise and 3x5 cards will not.
Yes. And also people can see paper shaking, mm-hmm. but not cards. Yeah,
but not cards.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay. So first you would reduce your content, cut it in half, and then cut it in half again. And then if that still doesn't work, and actually everyone should do this anyway, you should always do this.
Yeah.
Put your most important point first. I know how it's really funny that it's the last thing in the cast. And so the irony here is we're giving this to you at the end. I'm not sure why this is true, but it's very tempting in my experience to put the most important agenda item last. I don't know why that's true. It's completely counterintuitive.
I think it comes from essay writing in school. So you'd have the introduction, you'd have this point and this point and this point, and then the conclusion is the important thing, right? Where you bring it all together.
That's
why people put that at the end. But the problem is if you put it at the end and you have a problem fitting what you want to say into the space you have, is that you're racing to get to that important point.
Whereas
if you put it at the front, it gets as much space as it needs.
There's also the high C tendency to do this. But I think this mm-hmm. is partially why when people write emails, the question or the answer is at the end. Mm-hmm. After you write your email, after you write your slides, ask yourself, is this last thing the most important? And move it to the top.
Yes.
Just do it. Save us all the reading and the machinations. Like, save all of us and put your most important point first. And that way it gets plenty of time. You cover it at the beginning and you're not rushing at the end to try to like smush everything into whatever minutes you have left, right? Make sure that the audience hears it if it's first.
Right. And it's said that more people are afraid of public speaking than are afraid of death, which I find weird. But anyway, and you might have heard you speak too fast and then allowed that to put you off ever speaking in public again. And it might not have been appropriate feedback, and it might, but with practice, you can control control the speed at which you speak, and don't let it put you off trying.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Kate.
Thanks, Wendy.
That's all for this week. We'll be back next week with a new topic.